who made this. He still's not satisfied with this, so that's just a beta right there. That's the beta version of our intro for the impending storm. Apparently, there's something that he doesn't like about how the beat sounds or the drums, or I don't know. But Jared and TJ are both musical nerds, and I just
it's above my pay grade.
Whatever makes them happy, you know. Like same way with the nerd that makes us the background stuff. Like, I don't ask questions. Like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever you want to do, man. I don't care. Pretty easy to please. I just talk. I just talk and write stuff down. I don't really have any bigger contributions to this stuff. All right, so Al, we've got a couple of, and for those here or that will be here at some point, because we seem to have a couple people venture into the VODs every now and then. Be doing a lot of discussion on current stuff streaming. Myself and Al, we like to take and consume a lot of streaming stuff, especially series that really strike our interest that happen to be found on both HBO Max and Disney Plus seem to be the true money makers. But every now and then we'll dabble in the Peacock, the Hulu, the Netflix, and unfortunately the Paramount Plus of it all. just see where we get to. So let's start with something that brings me great joy. On HBO Max, there is a series that just concluded its first season. I assume there hasn't been any confirmed season two, but Tokyo Vice. I love me some Tokyo Vice. And Al, I forced you into also learning to at least watch Tokyo Vice. And I'm very curious because I haven't had anyone really to discuss with this because no one that I know that I talk to on a regular basis is even going to attempt to watch this show in its complete 8-episode first season run. So, Al, what were your thoughts on Tokyo Vice?
I like it. I love Japanese culture. So I'm down to watch anything that's Japanese related or has any kind of significance to the Japan area. It's been great. I couldn't believe how the season ended. I thought it was going to end up, you know, clarifying everything because, you know, he's deciding he wants to go back home now. So I thought it was just going to end there. I was not expecting that cliffhanger of where we're going to after this. It's interesting to see that the gang side of the Yakuza. This, especially how they do things and like how there's different factions. So the Yakuza
within a larger entity, there are separate, like, smaller. It's almost better because I don't think that's really a concept that works here, especially if you've been raised on like the Sopranos or the Godfather and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But it's essentially like division. So I've always interpreted the more that I've seen, and granted, this is from manga and anime, but the more I see like the Japanese mafia and gang style, it seems like it's more designed like an army construct where there's a bigger military branch, but within that there are divisions and different subcategories. But so for those that haven't had a chance to see it, Tokyo Vice on HBO Max is loosely based on the real life happenings of someone that went over to Japan back in the late 90s. Oh, actually, this happened in the 90s, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I think eventually it crosses over into the 2000s, his time there, of course. But essentially, it's a guy from Columbia, Missouri. He was going to the University of Missouri and decided, I don't want to do this. I want to be in Japan. I want to work as a journalist over there. So he uproots himself, goes to Japan without knowing any Japanese, and quickly becomes proficient in it within 2 to 3 years. And then somehow finds his way as the first gaijin, which is essentially foreigner, to be part of this illustrious, huge newspaper that's running in Japan. And because of the population size of Japan, it makes it that where he's working at one of the largest newspapers in the world.
Yeah. I think there's got to be a season two coming because, you know, we started the first episode with him and the police officer going to that bar. And then we backtrack from there. So there has to be more to this story. I think they're waiting to see what comes of this, I guess, you know, of viewership and all that. But I suspect there will be at least a second season so we can get at least to the end of what is happening.
So before we get to the real life aspect of it all, because sadly there is some real life discussion to be had based on this series, I am glad the season ended the way it did, because the one biggest critique I had is that it seemed like the white American guy, like, just everything's going his way way too frequently. Yeah. So I appreciated that, like, the last, and even the other non-Japanese people that were introduced to, it seems like, man, their lives are, like, everything's going kind of smoothly for them. That just seems really odd. And, of course, it was to set us up for the last, like, three episodes of just being soul-crushing bad for pretty much everyone that we were supposed to root for in the story. My favorite character is Sato, the Japanese Yakuza member who's basically just a small-time member at the start of the show and quickly rises up the ranks due to things both related to him and unrelated to him. So I like him, and just keeping with the theme, he didn't get a very happy ending at the end of this season, so who knows where that's going to go. And you know, we have essentially a very, you know, we have a very apparent big bad. Tozawa is the leader of a rival Yakuza gang trying to move into Tokyo. And while Tozawa and all these characters have had their names changed from the actual Yakuza members that Jake Adelstein was writing about while he was over in Japan, because I looked it up, but it seems like Tozawa is essentially a proxy for a real-life Yakuza member who was going through liver failure and happened to board a plane with aspirations of fixing that. So I know where he's going, and I know what his story is going to eventually look like from at least that singular little subplot. But I'm not sure how the rest of this is going to pan out with him, because we're not even really told whose boss is angry with Jake Adelstein at the beginning when we have the flash forward. So the flash forward just says, our boss won't like this. And I guess I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that and see if any of, like, the side gang members that are in the room talking to Jake happen to give me any clues as to whom might be the head of the table that he's talking to, because it may not necessarily be any of the leaders of the gang that we've seen thus far. You know, there could be some shakeup. Jake was over in Japan. I think his career spanned, like, 13... definitely over a decade in Japan. Oh, wow. as a beat writer. So he saw a lot. There's other cases too that we might be introduced to. So it seemed like he had also had some dealings with there was a case of a serial rapist that, like, that got pretty gruesome. Got pretty gruesome that might be a storyline for another season moving forward. But I don't know. I'm interested. I like that probably the biggest bad of all of this is just, like, the ominous foreboding element that is Japan, because it seems like a place that on the face value, you know, it's pretty upbeat, a lot of cool stuff, everything's going great, but man, there is a dark side, and that dark side could be the very apparent, clearly dark side of the Yakuza, but we also get small hintings of, you know, human trafficking, how a lot of aspects of that underside of Japan seems very hell-bent on bringing people into debt so that way they can then essentially have slaves. And there's even, you know, just even the smaller stuff of how, like, things are structured in Japan are very, feels very defeating from the lens that we're given, right? The newspaper, the police beat, the police officers themselves, where, you know, they don't have a large number of murder cases because they, if they don't have a witness, they don't classify it as a murder. Like, that's a bleak and very...
Yeah, that's a very different situation than it is here, for sure. That is a eye-opener kind of situation for me, you know, seeing that style of, you know, calling it that and not calling it that, so...
And I've always known, because it's always been a thing of, like, Japan has, you know, one of the highest suicide rates of any industrialized country. I'm starting to see why. Everyone's in debt. Everyone's in debt, and, like, that's rough. But even, like, a smaller thing, we have, and I don't know if they gave names to his two friends at the newspaper, but Wikipedia refers to the one with longer hair as Trendy, the good-looking guy as Trendy, and then the guy with the buzz cut as Tintin, because there was a joke about him being Tintin, the investigator, because of his comments he made at some, whatever he made earlier in one of the episodes. But apparently Trendy may or may not be homosexual, and I assume that that is a very starkly, potentially bad thing to get labeled as over in Japan, especially in the 90s when most of everything wasn't fully come to terms with the idea and the full ramifications of how do LGBT communities exist in most of societies. Like, 90s was still a lot of growing pains on that front. And I can't imagine Japan, especially with what I've seen, depictions, again, in anime and manga, but, like, depictions of homosexual men aren't the most flattering in Japanese pop culture. So, we'll see how it goes. But there's a couple of things. I love this. I love, again, all the Japanese culture side of it, too. Just seeing Japan, it just looks like a beautiful place. And the food all looks wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Wish I could be there eating those short ribs with them. And it kind of reminded me, not perfectly, but, you know, there were some aspects where I was like, man, that kind of, in a sense, looks like how my experience was in China. I know they're two different countries, and I know they probably aren't on best of terms often. But still, there's small moments where it's like, okay, I've been to something like that, or I've seen something like that. Or just how a city set up being drastically different because everyone is so packed in for every square inch. There's just so much humanity shoved in. That's like, I've definitely seen that. I've definitely seen that. And it's different. It's different than how we do stuff here because, you know, got a lot of laws that protect people and being jammed in to big towers. And
I did like the, what's his boss, the female boss, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but she, when he was in this last episode where he did crystal meth, and she's like, you're either crazy or you just really love your job. Yeah. I was like, that's got to be the most American thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. He'll do crystal meth for his job. God bless him. Like, that's definitely the most Southern thing I've ever heard. That's the most poor Southern thing I've ever heard. So he's living up to his Missouri roots, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting series, with everything and his boss, his female boss, just how she's navigating stuff where not only cause her brother was speaking Korean. So not only does she have not only is there an aspect of outsider to her, but there's also the fact that she's a female and definitely that does not seem to be a prominent spot to be in hierarchy or anything. And she's technically the only female that we've seen in charge of anything outside of the white woman that worked at the club who was about to start her own club. But even her now, she's had that all kind of twisted up. So, but yeah, like there's a lot societal. There's a lot of stuff of like the background noise of Japan. That's just like, ugh, that's I have thoughts, but it is interesting and no society's perfect, but it is definitely a very interesting look into a culture that, you know, outside of reading like some of the mythology and stuff like that, I really didn't have a big firm grasp on. I like to consume the content that they put out there for teenage boys and their shonen manga or manga and anime. So I mean, like I'm all about that shit. But everything else, it's been a little bit eye opening to kind of see it all play out. And yes, again, gangs, mafias, cults, the occult, all of that crap. You throw that in at any point, and I immediately become fixated with your series. So Tokyo Vice, if you haven't seen it, HBO Max, we'll give it a watch. Give it a watch. And if you're listening right now and you haven't joined in with us in the conversation, please feel free to do so. We love interacting with our chat. And if you don't follow the channel, please feel free to follow the channel. But yeah, Tokyo Vice, I'm ready. I hope they do a season two because yes, there's still the lingering flash forward point that we haven't got to yet.
Yeah, I want some more. I'm ready for some more. I wish there was more. Definitely go watch it. This is one I can highly recommend.
I just ended on such a dour note, though.
I know. It's like,
oh, everything sucks. So we need a season two just because everything. Front Relic, guess I'll check out Tokyo Vice. Check it out. Because, yeah, they ended it in a way where it's like, man, we got to have some better closure than what we just got. We have to. There's so many just unpleasant loose ends.
I thought there was another episode after when I finished it.
It was a weird ending. It was a weird ending, right? It didn't feel like that's not how I foresaw the season ending either. But hey, they did what they needed to do. They left me clamoring for more. So kudos. All right. So next up, we've got Moon Knight. So we're just sticking with good stuff right now we get to the inevitable Halo pill that's going to upset me. I still have the old title from what was previously there when I was talking about Avatar 2. Have you seen that Avatar 2 has a new title?
Yes.
The Way of Water. Ugh. There we go. All right, so Moon Knight Episode 5. We got a lot, but Al, how did you feel about Moon Knight Episode 5?
Oh, man. I was so confused the whole way through. It's been great so far. The ride has been great. I'm glad that they have incorporated this TV show without saying anything about the MCU, saying anything about what's going on in the MCU. So this could be a standalone property if it wanted to be. I don't think it will be. I think this episode we will get more of where this it falls into the MCU. We have been getting hints of, you know, Kang, the ancestral plane of Black Panther. So it's in the MCU somewhere. I just don't know where, and I don't know how it's going to fit. But I suspect we'll get a lot more in this next episode, and I am so ready for it. This is another highly recommended show for me. If you love the MCU, you're going to love this.
All right, so WV Uncommonplace, you say disappointed. Can I throw it out there, Uncommonplace, and you tell me what you're disappointed about? Because depending on what you say, I may have a follow-up point from some feedback that I've received from a friend that I hadn't thought about before, and when he threw it out there into my face, I was like, oh, yeah, I am actually that is kind of bumming me out now that I think about it. But I'm very curious. And also welcome WV Uncommonplace. It's been a while since I've seen your pretty face up in here, but... as always, active on Instagram, WV Uncommonplace does his own podcast. It does a lot of collaboration with other podcasts, so he's a good follow on Instagram, so please feel free to check out WV Uncommonplace. And Front Relic, if you have anything you want me to push for you, please throw it out there. I'll push your agenda too, buddy. I'm here to make everyone happy. So there was a lot going on, but I think the biggest thing that got me is, what was in the third sarcophagus? I can't get over that. I can't. Why bring it up? Why bring it up in episode 4 to not... That's the Chekhov's gun, so it's going to be opened at some point. It bugs me it wasn't opened up at this point.
I could see them just messing with us, though. You know?
Oh, the Mark Spector aspect of the show. Really? So were you a Stephen Grant fan? It never felt like to me that Stephen Grant was the main persona. It always felt like Stephen was a side character, even though he was the one we start off with. It always seemed like Mark was in there. Because Mark had a wife. So it seemed like he had more control over everything. But I'm glad they provided a little bit more clarity as to why we started off seeing everything from Stephen's lens in the beginning. And that's because of his emotional breakdown that happened 2 months before the series started up. So my thing, and again, someone threw this out there for me, and when I heard it, I was like, you know what? That does kind of bother me now that I think about it. And it's the fact that the series is called Moon Knight, and we may barely get any Moon Knight in the series, right? So episode 1, we got a hint of it. Episode 2, we got a lot of it. Episode 3, we got some of it. Episode 4, we did not. No. Episode 5, we did not. And episode 6, I can only hope we will. But with how episode 5 ended and us not being any closer to having Khonshu back in our Mark Steven boy, I don't feel optimistic that we're going to get a lot of Moon Knight in this. And that is kind of weird, right?
Yeah. It does seem kind of weird. I think, you know, he's part of the Midnight Suns, so we will probably be getting that at some point, which will bring him into the full front of that group right there. So I just don't know. The way they did this series is so much different than any of the other series we've seen so far. Especially, you know, WandaVision, Loki, this has been a by far different series than any of the ones. So.
And listen, I'll give a little bit of latitude leeway, right? this is, for all intents and purposes, the first of an origin Disney Plus series, right? Falcon Winter Soldier, we already knew those two characters. We had seen them in movies. WandaVision, we had already seen those two characters in movies. Loki, we've already seen him in multiple movies. So this is our first true origin Disney Plus series. So I can understand that we need to understand the person before we actually, I guess, get to know the superhero of it all. And maybe the saving grace is now that the wording for how this last episode... So it's moved from a series finale to a season finale. So that's got a lot of people excited that maybe there'll be a season two. But I don't know. I think eventually I just need more. And it's kind of my complaint with Halo, right? Halo, I need more Master Chief being Master Chief. And you know what? For Moon Knight, I just want Moon Knight. It would be nice because I don't necessarily know the Moon Knight character. And while it's good to be... It's all right, Siri. You'll figure it out. And while... So that was weird. And while there is the whole... You know, I get why they're doing it, but like Batman, let's take Batman for example. I don't care about Bruce Wayne. The Batman proved to me that I really didn't care about Bruce Wayne. I just want Batman. He's what the show's named after. Give me Batman. And Moon Knight, I just want Moon Knight. I just kind of want to see more of the Moon Knight character, see what he can actually do, see what his powers are, and see him be going against actual villains. Because right now, the biggest fight, and I understand that it's probably the whole theme of the show, is the battle for Mark and Steven and just the person that is whoever those two embody, just reconciling a lot of trauma they've dealt with. That's a lot to chew on, though, for a series. I thought we were just going to get a guy dressed in all white punching people with his moons. And WV Uncommonplace says Bushman. So we had that character, a villain of his that was alluded to in this series. Now, here's the thing that I thought was interesting, Al, and I don't know if you've seen this. Again, I don't follow Moon Knight comics. Moon Knight's not a character I'm very familiar with, but I did read into the fact that when they were doing the going at through the past memories, seeing that Mark had a younger brother, I learned that in the comics, the younger brother doesn't die that early, but eventually, you know, grows up with Mark, and I think betrays Mark, and that eventually leads to his presumed death, and he eventually becomes a villain, villain to Mark and the Moon Knight character, and even becomes an avatar of Khonshu at one point called Shadow Knight. So a lot of people are like, since we didn't see the little brother die, which, let's be real, Disney Plus isn't going to show a small boy drowning. But a lot of people seem to, and this is the Mephisto of it all, a lot of people seem like, well, maybe that's hinting that we're going to get the evil little brother plot point. We're not.
I don't think
barring there being some afterlife shenanigans, which may happen.
You know, when we went to the cave, you remember seeing the bird skeleton. So Khonshu, I think, was there earlier than what people thought. I think Khonshu was in Mark's life way further before being at that temple. I think that Khonshu was manipulating Mark's life more from that point, and brought him to the temple to make him a vengeance of his spirit. So I think the next episode will explain a lot, and we will see where that goes from, because there's a lot that needs to be explained still, and there's not much time left.
There really isn't, but we'll see what happens. But they're potentially a season two, which, hey, good for them. At least with the season two, I feel like we'll get more Moon Knighty punch, 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 and less introspective. This is why I am messed up. And the stuff with his mother, awful. You know, that was a pretty... Man, between that and Tokyo Vice ending on a really somber note, it was just a rough go of my my movie binging on Wednesday and Thursday. So yeah, like, and I don't dislike the whole humanity of it all. Like, you know, there's a lot that I do enjoy about how much they're giving to developing the personality of both Mark, Steven, and the person they embody. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just need more Moon Knight, man. I just need more guy in a white hood punching the crap out of people with with Moonerings.
I do think this next episode will be that way. I think with that third sarcophagus, you know, we're getting Jake Lockley. Jake Lockley is coming. And we're going to get that brute force. The fights you've been wanting to see is going to happen in this next episode against Hawk's character. So
I don't know. I saw one article that said Jake Lively. Was that his name?
Lockley.
Lockley. Jake Lockley is the Mephisto of this series. Like, we all want him. We all think we're going to get him, and then we don't. At this point in time, he plays a big part
in the comics too, though. So
I think, you know, like, watch us get him at the very end. Like, the very last scene is the sarcophagus blowing open, or an after credit scene is the sarcophagus blowing open. It's like, well, could have used you earlier, Jake. Where are you, buddy? But I don't know. I'm still on board, but I do think in retrospect, I do see myself getting a gnawing criticism with it all. That I hope that if there is a second season, they do lean less into, just lean more into developing the hero of it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess you had to, because he has the dissociative identity disorder. You had to reconcile that first, or at least cross the bridge of better understanding that first. Otherwise, how is someone that is just constantly at war with themselves ever going to be a superhero? We saw how that worked out in the first episode, where he's blacking out while driving and then waking up to death and destruction around him. Let's see. Fright Relic, if we don't get Jake Lockley in episode 6, I'm not going to do anything but be mad. Fright Relic, that's about where I'm at with a lot of things right now. I will declare, if I don't get this, I will just be frustrated. But
it's been a great series, though, so far, you know, especially with all the references to other things in the MCU, but not acknowledging them. So I've loved it. I thought it was great. It's been different than the other TV shows we've seen. So that is a big change for me, which is nice that Disney is not using somebody that they've already established and trying something new, and people are loving it. So
yeah, I'll give a lot of credit for it feeling different than most of the other Marvel properties. So I do appreciate that, because it's nice to have some variety and everything. And I do appreciate that, again, they have to. There's no way they could have just said, oh yeah, he has dissociative identity disorder. Okay, we're past that now. He's going to be a really effective superhero. Because that is, you can't do that. You can't, like, there can't be this big character point and there not be something to it. It's kind of like offering a third sarcophagus and never opening it. But Moon Knight, we have one more episode that we'll then discuss the wrap-up of the series in 2 weeks, right? Because next week you're going to be on Friday stream.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Fright Relic says, we kind of got a hint of Jake in one of the episodes where Mark blacked out, like Steven did. Yes, episode 4, there is that moment where those men have been beat up and Mark and Steven have an argument with each other about, why'd you do this? And like, I didn't do this. And there's someone out there that says, if you look very closely, you see a guy with a mustache in one of the reflections. Who knows? That could, again, be the Mephisto of it all, right? The Mephisto of everything is Jake Lockley.
He's showing up on Friday, don't you know?
Yeah, Mephisto's in everything, man.
Yeah,
Mephisto's
going to
be literally everything. Mephisto's why my taxes might be done, probably didn't get done. All right, now on to something that is a bummer, and that is Halo on Paramount Plus.
Oh, God.
Last week, I made a declaration that there was only one thing that would upset me, and Halo Episode 6 made sure to go out of their way that in the final minutes to allude to the one thing that would frustrate me, and that is putting Master Chief in a romantic relationship story arc. And here we are, Al. Here we are. It's going to be Maki. We're going to get the Blessed Ones. They're probably going to do it. And I hate that I'm going to have to type out in either Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or all these platforms that there was no need for a Master Chief sex scene. But it feels like I have to already prime up that social media post, because it feels inevitable at this point.
Oh,
and I hate it. I hate it.
This series has bummed me out for the past 6 weeks that I have to watch this first before I watch anything else. because I
just gotta cleanse the palate.
I might have to throw my phone across the room. I just don't understand where Paramount thinks this is Halo worthy. Why they think the Halo devotees, if you want to call them, are wanting to watch this, because this is not what I would want to watch as a Halo fan. It's been a struggle. There's been points, you know, that have been great. You know, there's been a few, you know, where we've had the fight scenes where he is a badass and, you know, is fighting the Covenant. And it's been nice to see that. But other than that, it's just been a total shit show.
I forgive you when you didn't give me action sequences in every episode. I found a way to forgive you when you gave me Master Chief's bare ass. I found a way to forgive you when you made Master Chief experience emotions. I forgive you when some of the props look like toys. I can't forgive you if you put Master Chief in a romantic relationship arc that culminates with him having sex. So help me God, I'll do nothing but bitch and moan. That's all I got. And Fraught Relic says, Mephisto made Halo. That's why it is the way it is. And at this point in time, I will gladly embrace that as the reality of the situation, because hot diggity damn, this is frustrating. Out of all the characters that need a romantic arc, a robot that we didn't even know if was human under his helmet for the longest time, getting butt naked and slamming meat with a lady that was abducted by aliens? No. I don't want it. I don't want it. You know what I want? I want Master Chief landing in the middle of 100 Covenant and yes, within the next 15 minutes, murdering them all and coming out covered in pinkish purple blood goo and then just being like, Cortana. And then Cortana shows her little blue cheeks out there, and then we just have a little fun banter between them. And like I said last week, the only pseudo romantic relationship I want is the weird tension that started to pop up between Cortana and Master Chief in later in the Halo video game series. I don't need him and Maki banging in some kind of like mind space garden, right? I don't need that. No, it's what we're exactly gonna get. It's what we're going to get. I don't need it.
I hope not. I sure hope not. But it is leading that way. And oh, God.
I don't need it, man. There are a lot of things I need. This is not one of them. Fraught Relic says, we need Master Chief hauling arse away from the Flood. I eagerly embrace the Flood coming and consuming all of the characters that we know at this point in time. I tremble for the day that we get the Flood to ravage half of all life that we know it on this series, because that will be the greatest day. Somehow, Halo series on Paramount Plus has made the Flood the inevitable babyface heroes that we need. We need this parasite to come and kill everything. Please.
I just don't understand how they could be so bad. I was excited for this. I thought it was, you know, going to be at least decent. It's been god-awful garbage. I'm hesitant to even watch the Knuckles series when it comes out from Paramount, because that is coming out from this company. And if it's anything like this, it's going to, I don't know. Maybe I'll tweet them or write them an email or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna contact my state senator or something. Like, there's something I gotta be able to do. Knuckles is getting a series. Knuckles is getting a series on Paramount Plus. Idris Elba will be voicing Knuckles once yet again for some episodes, and I'm sure he'll get a love moment in there, and I'm sure he'll bang someone, and we'll see his bare ass cheeks.
It'll be with Amy,
and we'll see his bare ass cheeks, because why not, man? Why not? Why not give every video game character a chance to show their bare ass on Paramount Plus? Why not?
It wouldn't, you know. But it was twice.
Why not? Just do it. Why not? It's what we want. And listen, I can understand to a certain degree. Hey, we give it some points that make it more alluring to a fan base that maybe isn't necessarily the gamers that have been our following this entire time. But if you do that, you can't stray away from the fact that you need action. There has to be more action than what we're getting. And if the issue is limitation in budget in the CGI, then you shouldn't have done the series, is all I can say. Lord of the Rings on Amazon Prime is about to make a $1 billion episode, 8-episode run. So, like, if you're not ready to put up or shut up, just don't do it. Just don't make it. But
here's hoping. That's because of Danny Bezos, though.
Jeffrey Bezos. Well, then here, I'm going to say right now, Elon Musk, please buy Paramount Plus and help save the Halo series. Get rid of Master Cheeks. Give us Master Chief. All right. You know. And I even hate the guy they have playing Master Chief. I just hate what they've done to Master Chief. That's all. Give me Halo. Get us on the Halo. For all frick's sake, just get us on the Halo. Because once we get on the Halo, that means the flood is inbound. And I need a cleansing. I need fiery retribution to burn through the galaxy and kill life in large quantities. Because at least then we have constant war and struggle. But if I wanted the crap they're putting on here right now, I'd go watch The Expanse, because The Expanse did it better.
Yeah, I will say that. That was definitely a better show. So.
Oh, yeah. Much better show. A lot of similar elements.
Yeah.
One of the scenes from one of the episodes when they're on the rubble looks exactly like a moment from The Expanse. So, like, y'all are not doing a better version of a series that's already out there.